Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you.
Bro, I mean, how are you?
I'm good.
You're a strapping dude, you know?
Stop it.
Let's just be, get a couple things out of the way. I told my sister, my wife, and my nieces that you were coming on, and they all, more than, Mo, by the way, can we do all, are we doing all three cams?
Yeah.
Okay, great. They all, freak the fuck out more than anyone that's ever been on this podcast.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything more underwhelming than actually meeting me. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that to.
Even you say that with the accent and the beard. I thought you were going to do that, and then I was going to have to isolate that clip and send it to my sister so she could turn the lights down.
That's the meme. No, but I mean,
hug that mic, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, get those pipes on there.
Listen, you know, the I think it's just a gradual descent into actually realizing what I'm like, which is just I'm a bum, you know. No, but it's true, and I feel like people are in love with that idea, which was not conceived by me; it was just executed by me. It's not I'm not doing this as a display of false humility.
Yeah.
It's just like I'm not. I think I got very, very lucky.
How much of the business do you think is? I just actually to read something or have a conversation. I smoke weed. Somebody said to me, or I said to myself in my head, about like the element of luck in this business, right? There's definitely my mom always preaches like you create your own good luck
of
and
course.
Like you create, you put yourself in positions to get certain opportunities. But
By the way, what position are you not in? Dude, you're crazy. I know we were just sort of touching on this beforehand. I don't mean to pivot here.
Please, pivot away.
But it's insane. I don't quite understand how you're doing what you're doing. And I don't know, like, and a lot of things are making sense to me given the extent of your workload and knowing, like, kind of the rapidity with which you are able to speak as, like, Sean, and which, I'm obsessed with. We'll get to that in a second.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, yeah, well, this is probably what this guy's inner monologue is. Like, there's so much happening. Do you have an assistant? Do you have somebody to manage?
No, I probably should.
I've got 12. You should probably have fucking 12. You
I
should
know.
Be like Christ.
I know.
Be, wait.
Did Christ have an assistant?
13 disciples, right?
Gotcha.
So that's just something. But I was just omitting one because I don't believe in women washing your feet with their hair. Biblical reference there, ladies and gentlemen. So, anyway.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, look, I got really used to like doing things by myself.
Yeah.
Because of I think a lack of support on the representation side, and then also just it was like a necessity out of probably being scared, insecure, whatever. But also I think I've always been, when it comes to creative stuff, enjoyed having my feet in too many different pools, or at least just doing a lot all the time.
Yeah.
That being said, yeah, like it's organized chaos definitely sometimes. There's things that I remember sometimes, but I seem to always, things only fall through the cracks sporadically. I'm pretty good at you know, keeping it now somewhat organized, you know, on paper. But Sean, somebody said this to me recently. They go, he's such an upbeat guy and is like kind of like at the way that I do speak with his, you know, cadence and just the rhythms or whatever. We're talking about a character on my Instagram that, you know, I wish was a bigger deal. You know, Daniel and I connected over this, and I think it gets shared amongst people that there's definitely been people of your caliber that have hit me up that has been very flattering, that are like, I'm obsessed with this guy. I wish he was real. And then, you know, you take that in stride, and also you're like, ah, fuck, anything on my page is me, you dig? And they're like, nah, man, just that fake guy.
No, hold on a second.
Yeah.
No, we need to, let's back that up a
sure.
second. You're amazing. Like I watch you with your crowd work, and you're stunning there. I watch your Vince McMahon. You're all over the place with your talent. But it's okay to have a place where there's something that you've captured something, man. Like no, I mean really, you've captured something. Like I was thinking about this on the way over, and I don't want to pre-think anything before I do something like this because it steals
that.
The spontaneity.
Me too.
The spontaneity.
Yeah.
There we go. But it's like there's something, there's a dexterity in him that, and to the way he speaks, I would not be concerned about like he's going to be the one that you're going to receive the highest praise for,
sure.
from a lot of folks, I think. But because there's something so uniquely, And that's, this is not to denigrate any of course, anything else you do.
Of course.
There's something like...
Cut to me crying in the car.
Well, listen, yeah, or Sean crying in the car.
I'm Sean so, crying.
But this is the thing. I mean, but to honestly, to like, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8, who do we appreciate? Ourselves. Like sorry, I'm quoting one of the, it's the Sean. Like, it's the dumbest fucking thing.
Yeah,
but you know what? He sort of exemplifies a certain zeitgeist. There's a guy on Instagram. Fuck, I could talk about this guy.
Bro,
I feel like,
please,
I could write a piece.
We got plenty of time.
I feel like Sean is every guy that's sort of telling you about how to live or considers their own life a kind of creation that's worthy of being seen. It's worthy of grandstanding. It's worthy, and that he has very real, like, and in his mind, very real wisdom to impart. My favorite things is that he sort of reveals who he is. He sort of comes undone, almost like Cartman did on South Park when he. Do you remember in the South Park episode where Cartman fakes having Tourette's, and he has Tourette's so much that eventually he starts kind of revealing these. He sort of becomes like a Tourette's sufferer, you know.
Wow.
And he starts revealing that he touched, in his words, he touched wieners with his cousin, but he didn't mean to say it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's something about Feliz Navidad, I miss you. You know, that's fucking, that's like, oh shit, like you sort of, he's so stream of consciousness because he's presumably, I'm talking about Sean,
yeah.
Presumably he's bathed in fucking Adderall.
Sure.
I don't know what's going on,
yeah.
But you just need to know how fucking funny it is. You have imitators. There are guys who are trying to do what you're doing. Have you
no.
seen? There's a couple of guys who are kind of trying to do it, and
cool.
They can't because you have, like, I compare you to, like, Stephen Fry, you know, the
oh,
British comedian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He has this crazy, crazy vocal dexterity, which you've got, which is, and it's like, he did this one character you should look up. It's from one of the best sketch shows in history called A Bit of Fry and Laurie. It was Stephen Fry and Hugh Laurie. And Stephen did this one bit, and it was about, like, why I'm so splendid. And it goes for, he wrote it, but it goes for about 2.5 minutes at about Sean's breakneck fucking speed, and I'm telling you, man, like it reminds me of that because it's so revealing, right. About the person underneath. I know I'm a boring fucking guest.
No,
right?
You're not at all.
We're gonna
wrap this up in about 5. But so get all the compliments out.
No, then. But I don't know. I find him so fucking I can't. You cannot watch a Sean clip once. You know, am I doing too loud?
I thought I muted the computer. I turned it on. I was playing you off.
Get this.
Can you imagine if we had a playoff like in the Oscars for conversations?
And just two burly men standing there eclipsing.
I did that at a friend's wedding once when I was hosting the rehearsal dinner. Like, I had the guy in the back who was using music. I go, "We're gonna play you off." And as a joke, and everyone laughed because there was 40 speeches. There wasn't. There was 28 speeches.
Right, right.
It was a big wedding, a lot of money. And the guy in the back, I go, "Hey, man, you know, give me some music to play off," because one of the girls was doing like a 12-minute speech.
Oh, no.
And he goes, "Sorry, man." Because I went up there. I was like, what happened with the tunes? He's like, I felt bad. I didn't want to play her off. I was like, I gave you the go-ahead. Also, what's that laptop for if you're not going to use it for some sort of comedy here? Do you got a bunch of porn on there? And he's like, "I mean," and I was like, "You do." And I was like, "Show us what you got." And he was like, "No." And
at the wedding?
I was like, "Oh, he definitely was looking at porn."
Much.
He said, "I won't turn my laptop around."
He wouldn't do the 180.
Crazy. Can you imagine looking at porn at a wedding that you're DJing the rehearsal dinner for? His job, he thought he was like the opening of me and my buddy coming out and hosting it and having like an opening song and then just getting to kick it in the corner and surf the hub.
Yeah, it must be amazing. I mean, you're saying there was 28 speeches?
There was, that also is an exaggeration.
All right.
23.
Right.
There was more than 20. Swear to God. Big wedding. And so my buddy, she goes, "Will you?"
Are people kind of holding you responsible at this point for the fact that they're not? You're the one who has to sort of usher them out.
Yes. I went up there at the beginning and she goes, "Will you host this?" Because I was going to do a speech at the end with my buddy. We wrote a song. And I go, "I just want to have a weekend off. I want to hang, you know, Stevie Wonder and Usher played on Friday. John Mayer played Saturday." It was a big, there was a lot of money at this wedding. And I was like, "I want to hang and get fucking hammered the whole time and just hang out." She goes, there's 23 speeches. I go, put a bottle of tequila next to the mic stand and I'll do it. And then I was like, oh, you know what? I'm actually going to try to use this to my advantage and keep it. So we went up there and we're like, guys, a couple things to keep in mind with the speeches. Keep it tight. Nobody cares that you went to fifth grade music camp with our friend here. Like, tell her that at the wedding. If you start crying, we're all going to make funny on Saturday. Like, keep it tight, keep it whatever.
So and superimpose that kind of ethos onto what I was just doing with Sean there. Yeah. You're like, dude, wrap it up. Dude, no, wait. As the host, you sit here worrying. Do you worry that you're like, fuck, I don't have the sound bites or this isn't succinct?
Not at all. Do you ever? No, because
A little bit.
Never.
Never? You don't? Okay.
Oh, no, because I...
Some of your guests are so fucking funny.
That's some cool people.
See, I'm not that.
No, but you're engaging and you're interesting. And the fact that you were down lets me know that I'm going to... Also, I'm genuinely interested and engaged. And if that's that, then we're all gravy, baby. Okay. And that's the third time I've said that's all gravy, baby, in the last week and a half. And I'm trying to catch myself before it comes out.
I thought you were just saying you're about to say you're going to try and resurrect it as an expression.
I don't know if it was ever a thing.
Was it a thing? I've never heard it before, but I like it.
Saying it's all gravy.
It's all gravy, baby.
It feels okay. Adding baby, it feels baby, a little like, hey, man, put your pants back on or step away from that massage table.
You're an interesting dichotomy, man. You as a person, you're like this. You're sort of a bro, but you're this weird fusion of sort of bro, but there's an elegance to you.
I quit sports to do musical theater.
That makes sense to me. Yeah. That's why Sean is so fucking for real.
Yeah.
Because there's a collision happening in you between these two elements.
Wow.
And I'm like looking at it going, this is interesting. This guy is kind of, and it's almost like your resistance to the, because you do have this kind of elegance to you as well. I'm like going, which is he, bro? Is he fucking elegant? I can't tell. It's going to be so interesting to watch you age. You know? And it's, wait, how old are you?
I want to hear you guess.
Shit.
Don't think too long.
31?
Get the fuck out of here.
32?
40.
Are you fucking really?
Yeah, baby.
Fuck, really?
Yeah.
Well, you do have a very, really, fucking
yeah.
A.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, I get a facial once every 8 months.
Fuck, I would have guessed way younger. I mean, look, you're incredibly talented, but I was like, the way that you're navigating what the fuck you do, and I couldn't even describe what you do because it's in so many different directions. I could only assume that you were a young guy who knew how to do all this shit because I feel like an old fuck.
How old are you?
47.
You're killing it, dude.
No,
what's your skincare
not
regime?
There's no skincare. This is fucking.
Do you have any sort of morning routine?
No, I don't. No, fuck it. Come on. Dude,
really? You don't Clearasil or Noxzema deodorant? I'm sure.
Like Keith fucking Richards, man. I'm sitting here. This is not. I've got a white
you're
stripe in my
it,
beard.
No,
this is it.
That's. I'm sure your gal is digging that, right?
I don't know. You know, I've never. She's very polite about not mentioning that it sucks.
What do you prefer, the beard or no beard?
Well, I'm doing this because I'm going to go and do a thing in Ecuador. Here's the plug. I'm going to fucking...
Please.
But no, I'm going...
Are you plugging Ecuador, the country, or are you plugging the gig?
I'm plugging
let's push Ecuador?
I'm here to plug Ecuador. It's a fucking beautiful place. There's not nearly as many kidnappings.
Are there really?
No, I don't. No, well, that's Colombia, which I also made a film in. But I'm going to go and make this movie called Shaman, which is a thriller thing in the jungle / volcanoes of
sounds awesome.
It does sound kind of awesome, and it's kind of nice to be work. And now it's nice that we're going ahead. I don't know that.
Did you audition for it?
I did not. No. Hey, but
give
no,
me a bump,
no,
dude.
But
this
dude,
is the dream.
I don't know, man. I would love the bump for when I've got something from an audition. That hasn't happened in years. And meaning like I'm just incredibly unsuccessful. I mean this like the last.
Who?
So the last several years, I'm very proud of the work that I've been able to be a little bit more selective because I had those years of doing the show,
yep.
And I've been able to slow down and be a bit more judicious.
We're talking originals, Vampire Diaries. Am I missing one?
Well, I did this movie called Coming Home in the Dark,
yep.
You know, which is like I'm if I did nothing else in my career, I did that. Like
no
you know,
way.
You do something more because the director was just so talented. The writer director, and I went and did this thing. We did it for $4 in New Zealand, shot at night in the fucking freezing cold. And this thing I think it's the scariest fucking movie. And it's all his creation. I happen to be lucky enough to be a part of it. But it's just, that movie is so fucking special. But I have that thing that I feel very lucky having done. Do you know what I mean? Like, I did a thing that I'm like, oh, well, now, like, I can die. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, you did.
I was part of something really, really special.
And
you know?
Break down for me what was so special, just because of you, your respect for the director, like the location, the film. Like truly. I do want to speak to the fact that like what you're saying is like, I feel like personally, with the amount of auditions that I do, where I'm like, oh, I hope I get this, is less than the ones that I'm like, yeah, it'd be cool to get this job, right? Versus like, man, I fucking would be.
Yes.
I can envision. Yeah, building and where I'm just like, whoa, I just feel like this guy is me or whatever it is. I'm just like, probably the same way Steve Carell felt about Michael Scott, right? Where you're like, if I don't get this, I'm going to fucking lose my mind.
Right.
But then you just hope that enough wear and tear of the business and getting conditioned to, you know, deal with rejection, you go, I'll be fine if I don't get it, but goddamn, I hope
it's so interesting
it.
To be that you sparked a memory in me there. I want to put a flag in
there
for a second there, because
we'll also do a part two and a part three. So if we don't cover everything today,
absolutely,
you'll come back.
I don't know about that.
No, but don't tell me how to live my life, man.
I was watching Robert Downey Jr. the other day auditioning for Iron Man, and what's really interesting, I feel like actors might be able to spot this, and maybe others would not, but Robert Downey Jr. is nervous auditioning. Watch that audition. It's online. He's nervous.
Well, first went in for the audition, there was a part of me was like, okay, am I Iron Man right now? Or am I Iron Man after? Is it the first one, the second one, or the third one? Because they already had the fourth one scripted out. So I just want to know, are we doing the first one now? And also, who's the villain? Who's the bad guy? Who's the good guy? Am I the good guy? Are you the bad guy?
Right. Well, that swagger, by the way, fuck it. That's amazing. That's unbelievable.
It's okay.
It's pretty good. He's
nervous.
There's something that's not quite there. It doesn't quite have flow. And you're like, God bless John Favreau because you know he'd fought the fight for him.
Oh yeah.
And truly, like he was not the favorite for that position, and he's just unbelievable. But it's wonderful to see fucking Robert Downey Jr. nervous is what I'm trying to make the point of.
Yes.
And the fact that there are those moments where guys are sort of ideal for something. And look how many movies, and we don't need to name anything here, but there are movies and roles we've seen, and I've certainly thought, fuck, this thing is perfect, but it's not even a fault of the actor, it's just that actor is slightly miscast.
Yes.
Like, I've been miscast and shit.
Really?
Where, fucking A.
You know that going in?
Oh, I knew that taking the job, yeah.
Whoa.
Well, because I needed the money. You know, like, sometimes I needed the money, and I needed to work, you know?
Right,
at least several times I've gone, I'm not right for this.
But you don't, like, let that... you know, carry over into any of the
jobs. No, I do the best job that I possibly can, and it still eats ass. And not in a sexy way, you know?
Yeah, thanks for clarifying there can be an unsexy way to eat ass.
Oh, yeah.
And for those of you kids watching, you know, make sure you watch some sort of a YouTube tutorial. You're already there. You're already watching the parkour, the unboxing vids. You know, fucking go down, ass eat. .com, whatever it is, I'm not sponsored by this site, but there's room to learn. HelloFresh offers great prepackaged. No, we are sponsored by them. I'll do the ad later.
By the way, how beautiful would it be just to roll a fucking ad
from ass eating to HelloFresh? We'll keep it in. Yeah, dude, there has to be a point in. You said 20 years in LA, which is Which is very, congrats, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I have been out here,
yeah,
I guess, went
ask.
Out 2001 to 05 for acting school at SC. And so graduated in 05. So I guess 18 years, right? Really, because I don't consider school being in LA. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was in school. The acting program was super demanding. I didn't have a lot of time. I wasn't leaving campus to do mics or even immerse myself in LA.
Yeah.
So I feel like I didn't get to know LA until I graduated, if that makes sense.
Yes.
But 20 years of what? Like true, like once you got here, you were like in it and grinding and trying to, I guess, take us down your path to getting here.
Well, I'm super fascinated too by when your momentum sort of began as well. Like when did you feel like, Yeah, I mean, I know that's hyperbole, but does it feel like that?
You know, man, and you're really good at putting this back on me, but, and I guess I'll have to, you know, if we don't get much more out of you from this pod, I'm not trying to be shirtless pics for my sis.
All right.
And so.
It's just so fucking, yes. What time is it? Sure. Have I had any
What
carbs
are your nipples
today?
Better at 6
no,
p.m.?
No. No, I can have carbs at 7 o'clock. No,
but, I don't know, man. It's to me, this biz is like, I mean, I still feel the way I feel when I got here, which is like, right. I'm nowhere near where I want to be, which is, I guess, weird to say.
I think that's an affliction that never recedes.
Yeah.
If you live here, it's in the, it's a ghost that lingers over L.A.
And that's why, one thing we're talking about, you used to live around this area of Hollywood, which I'm sure you dug those times, but you're right, you loved it.
I loved it.
The energy I feed off of, being close to comedy clubs is ideal, but like, I truly do dig the, you know, even if there's some fucking, I was walking my 10-pound Cavapoo pickles the other day down the street, and this guy, you know, a little cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. He's probably on Citizen's app.
Can we just back this up a second? You're 10-pound
Cavapoo.
Cavapoo.
Named Pickles.
Yeah. All right, good. Yeah, we can continue.
Sweet name, sweet gal, licks herself in public a lot.
This is amazing.
This fucking meth-ed crack addict, Rice Krispies, whatever he was on, he's walking down the street, and he sees Pickles licking herself, cleaning herself, whatever. And he goes, looks like that tastes good. This is about 7:30 in the morning. And he kept moving, which is the right move.
Yeah.
If you're going to say that and you slow down to maybe reach down for a pet as well, nah, man.
No, that's not happening.
You're misreading the situation. If you're going to say that, it better be a drive-by.
Yeah.
So he goes, looks like that tastes good. I laughed because it was funny in the context of, I don't know, you're looking at a dog licking itself. I like the energy of Hollywood. The crazy and the not crazy.
Yeah, it's fucking manic, and you increasingly you have to kind of turn a blind eye to the fact that there's something slightly apocalyptic about it too.
Oh, yeah.
Like that Vine didn't used to look like that, man. It didn't used to look like South Central. Just being fucking. That sounds
no.
You know,
that's an area where there's just there's some more struggle than not.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And it's fucking, I mean, it looks like a fucking war zone. And every single overpass, that this, you know, like, I've got an 8-year-old son, and it breaks my heart, man, because he really asks questions, and he wants...
No way.
And he makes me, this is several times now, we've driven into, like, supermarkets, because he needs me to go and get food for, like, homeless people, and we have to turn around and go back and give them food and drinks and things
like
that.
What a sweet kid.
Yeah, but sometimes I feel truly endangered. Like, you know, like, there's been times where he's like,
Dad, I don't think this... No, but it's... Crackhead needs these snack packs.
No, he did.
Or Cheez-Its. I don't know. What sort of...
I'm like, the power bars and fucking... Okay, yeah. And bags and Lay's.
I was wondering how specific he was getting. This guy would love a fruit by the foot.
Oh, no, he's selective, man. He'll go in and he'll go, Dad, I think it's going to be something healthy. Let's get these things. There's maybe some apples,
dude.
Bottles of water and things like that.
Bravo.
You know?
Smart kid.
And maybe this 40 a Jack. And that never happened.
He's like, that's for me, Dad.
That's it. Exactly. He's like, because I can't tolerate being your fucking kid. You know?
Can you imagine, by the way, if he said that? My 8-year-old nephew, I've got about 20 minutes on him. You'll see it tonight, a handful of it. He's doing a new thing. There's so many things that he does that are funny and also fucked up. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. It's
and
beautiful.
I feel like it is beautiful. And my wife and I are back and forth on kids. Well, we probably will do it because I love being an uncle and I do love kids.
Yeah.
Your kid already sounds awesome. And I'm also, I take pride in the fact that I connect really well. Like, I'm good at, because I'm a big kid. So, like, I'm just good at, even there was a kid in the elevator a couple weeks ago, and I hadn't seen her before. I think she was maybe a kid of somebody that was visiting or whatever, and she was all in her soccer gear, and I was like, oh, you got, like, a tournament coming up? And she's like, yeah, and I started just, what position? Whatever it is that I feel like I can, because, look, talking to a kid, you can get in your head about being, like, as an adult, especially a grown man, it's like, I understand if you're just like, hey, don't make small talk with a child. But in my head, I'm like... I like almost the way that I approach, I guess, stand up and anything I'm doing. I'm like, I know that I want to get a, not a laugh out of them, but like a, I can get a smile out of them or something, or like, fuck yeah, like, what's your favorite player? What's your, you know, and look, if the kid is so, you know, socially awkward or like not into it, and then the parent nudges, I'm like, say would you, whatever. Yeah. But I still, I feel like, I don't know. I get drawn to that.
Yeah, you're going to be a dad for 100%.
You
will be. How long have you been married?
6 months, maybe 7 months.
Oh, man, you're brand new. Oh, that's awesome. Don't rush into that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but I will say this, man. There's something, you know.
You love it.
First of all, there's nothing better than making your kids laugh in the world. It's the greatest.
Man.
My son has this laugh that's just, he sort of laughs with his whole body. It's the best sound in the fucking world. I know it sounds kind of corny and
can you give me an impression?
No, I couldn't. It sounds like fucking, it sounds like a river. It's the most beautiful sound I've ever heard in my life. Like, honestly, maybe that's something in my DNA, like, that you want to, but like. That's not what I meant. What I meant was, it's in my DNA to respond to his laugh. Love in that, that way, fucking yeah. Jesus.
Wouldn't that be great? Because
I have a laugh like a river. Fuck you. Just say, don't get me, I won't be your narcissist. Just this fucking, all right, Trump.
I've got the greatest laugh.
I don't know if you know.
No, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, you got that.
So I think we all have a version of that.
We do.
You know, if only when we're rubbing one out. But but with the kids thing, don't ever be regarding like with you and your wife. Like, don't ever be deterred by the way. Like, I think a lot of people. Here's one thing that comes with having children that I think is really, really helpful.
Please.
Well, it came of a time for me, but it helps you to make the distinction between what you want to keep and what you want to throw away, and that line, those lines become much clearer. Like, because you're a guy who does, you know, you're spinning 17 plates. You're probably going to choose like 8, yeah. If I had to guess. And these others
might be the best thing for me.
It might be the best thing for you.
Because I do feel like I'm spreading myself too thin.
You'll work in the way that you want to.
Harder on the things that matter, right?
Yeah.
Or I guess that matter to you.
Yeah, but you're a goddamn beast. I need a leaf out of this book, man.
No.
This is a beautiful thing. I mean, either that or you're going to drop fucking dead. Like, dude,
1,000.
Like, I'm going to be like...
Oh, wait, yeah, like at 50, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I've definitely... Being married has even slowed me down.
Yeah.
There was a point when I was like, for sure. And I definitely have been hospitalized a few times for exhaustion and for like...
Really?
Oh, yeah. There was... yeah. Wow. I'm actually just realizing it's probably more than 5 times as far as like... and the last time was pretty terrifying where I was like convinced that was a wrap, which is crazy. I was having these like... pains in my head that were so gnarly, and I was like, oh, something's like getting ready to just blow up in there. It was so crazy. And I was there, and I had to cancel a weekend of shows, and I was there for a couple of days, and they did every test you can imagine. I mean, every finger went everywhere, you know, which wasn't part of the test. I just was like blackout.
Is it weird that I'm a little bit hard right now? I'm sorry.
No. I've been hard since we sat down. But that's just, you know, that's a personal problem, as my mom says.
But not to detract. Sorry, sorry. You're in the middle of your fucking telling me this really personal thing, and I'm fucking cracking shitty jokes.
That's what we're supposed to do.
No, I know.
You got to do that. You can't get too much. Yeah.
Do you suffer from
instincts?
Have you had anxiety?
Not really. And I've joked about. I think the other day I had a pretty gnarly day. And I was like, God, I wish I had a fucking Xanax, which I've taken probably twice in my life.
Yeah.
And my wife was like, no, you'll get addicted. Weed, booze, comedy. Those are my vices. I think I do get anxiety, but I've gotten good because I think at a young age I was just like growing up quick with divorce and peer mediating between my sis and my mom. I just got to a point where it was, and then my mom had a... try out a couple family counseling things that we both kind of were like, no thanks. So I just got good at being like, probably suppressing a little, but also just being like, what are you going to do? And I'm just going to have like a glass half full thing about this and not really. So I got good, I guess what I'm saying, at controlling like when I do feel, if I have a shitty day or I get whatever, I get on top of it pretty quick.
Wait, what's your sleep like? It's bullshit, isn't it?
Something about it. It's five days. What's today? Is it May? No, it's June. My sleep's not bad. It's gotten way better.
Really?
Okay, and that is one thing. That's a valid question. I have to, like, I can operate in the dark days when I, pre my wife, man, I was probably operating on 4 or 5 and then doing like when I was on the CW Mad TV reboot, we'll edit in some applause. Yeah,
there'll be a little thing.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody saw it. Okay. But it was a blast because it was a sketch show and it was a dream of mine. Nobody saw it. They didn't promote it, whatever. CW, you fucked up. But I would do a full day of like rehearsal.
Yeah.
And then we'd shoot some sketches, and then I'd go do a pod, and then I'd go do shows, and then I'd like wake up and do a VO gig, and then go shoot again. Like, I was just doing that, being like, I'm going to do it all, baby.
Yeah.
So now I'm like, all right, maybe you don't need to do 3 spots tonight. Maybe you do 1 or 2, and then you go and you get 6 or 7. So even tonight, I'll probably get 7. Maybe, but that'll be like sporadic.
Welcome back to Meditation Mindset. Time spent alone is the most important.
Sergey, are you still in the bath?
Yes, I'm listening to my podcast.
Can I come in?
No! Oh!
Just need to grab the claw clippers. Don't worry, I'll cover my eyes.
What?
Whoa!
Carl, I'm gonna fall in.
Whoa! I'm still not looking.
And I'm not listening to my podcast.
Don't wombat it. Meerkat it.
Simples.
I don't know. Do you track your sleep while you sleep?
No.
Yeah.
I sleep. I don't know that I need to work out every day. I had crippling anxiety for years.
From what?
From working too hard. I was.
Take me through you getting here and what it was
so,
like.
So when I was on the originals, I was number two on that call sheet, and I got and I was number two on a call on
Danny. Hug that mic.
Oh yeah, sorry man. Yeah. Number two on
talk
a call.
To Danny, is that okay?
You know, my mother calls me. My mother and you. It's weird. It sounds like a trucker from Iowa, but I'll accept it.
Okay. But I don't want to be that guy. Like, if you're like very adamant about like.
I don't know.
If you call me Danny one more time.
No. Let's try it on. See how okay. it see all how right. it works. I'm wet.
You didn't freak out. So
no. We're good.
Okay. He's clenching his fist under the table.
Yeah, I know. I'm flipping you off. It's just like a perfect. You know. So it's fucking. This is awesome.
You moved here from where?
New Zealand.
Yeah.
But I came directly from Canada. I'm Canadian born Kiwi. It's a weird thing.
Cool.
I tried something in Australia. It didn't work out. Tried. I'd worked in New Zealand. I know I worked in Canada for a little bit. Came to the States. But yeah, I don't know, man. Where the fuck? Where
anxiety.
Oh yeah, anxiety.
Your journey to LA, and now I want to get into like the nitty gritty of like auditioning and like trying to be an actor here.
Yeah, man, but it's just
a dream.
Yeah, no, I loved it. Well, I'd been beaten to the shit out of in so many other countries. It didn't matter. Like when I was watching other guys come and go, I was like, well, this is what we do. Because I'd been so beaten to shit everywhere globally. Like there was a weird. There's a weird problem when you come here and audition too. Like, so I stayed here illegally for, you know, because you're allowed 3 months or something,
right?
And then once that's done, you're illegal, and you're like, so every time you drive, like, it kind of makes the moment special because whenever you're driving, like, I have a car accident, I'm fucked. Anything happens to me, I'm fucked. If one of my buddies gets into a fight at the bar, I'm fucked. You know, like, I'm going to be thrown out and I won't be able to come back.
Wow.
Furthermore, when you're auditioning, you can only audition for the leads, and you can only audition for you could audition for pilots because networks back in those days, made a lot more pilots. They could sort of grandfather you in, with what was called an O-1 visa, which I eventually got.
Right.
But you had to sort of book leads in big in movies
to stay.
So no guest work was available to me. No commercials were available to me. No, like, which is, you know, bread and butter for most actors. So it's a brutal road. So, but you kind of, I don't know. I was around the corner from here, actually, Hawthorne. I was sleeping on a floor in Hawthorne. I had two ottomans that I stuck together and slept on that piece of shit, which is actually more comfortable. I've lived in some shit heaps, and
truly grind it out here when you
but it's
here.
Beautiful when you're doing that. I'm 26 years old when I'm doing that. Like, wow. Like it's the best. You don't care. You're eating ramen, drinking Red Bull, and kind of like
I'm doing it. I'm trying to be an actor in Hollywood. It's kind of a beautiful
absolutely.
Yeah.
And also too, like, the weather's amazing. The girls are unbelievable. Like, I'm from New Zealand. They didn't look
different.
It's different.
Gotcha.
That's it. Yeah.
Gotcha. Did you feel confident coming here with your acting chops? Like, are you trained?
Yeah, I was trained, and I felt like I'd done enough that I threw it all in this direction. You know, I wasn't gonna. I mean, it seems like you're here. You're in this neighborhood. You're doing all of these these different sort of crafts. Oh my boy, I use the word crafts.
It's okay.
We can.
We'll edit that out.
Just
dude.
Get that.
Trust me, I don't even know if the cameras are on right
just
now.
Just, who cares?
We're just hanging, man.
This is a very long TikTok.
Wait.
it's like, whatever.
Wait. I want to ask, who were your guys that you, when you were a kid in New Zealand, Canadian born, you said?
Canadian born, but grew up in New Zealand,
So when you're just starting to get a taste of like the entertainment business, right? Like, you know, whether it's a comedian or an actor, like, who did you start to see that made you, grew fascinated with that maybe inspired like, oh, I want to do that.
Brando. Brando. Like the first time I saw Streetcar, I was just like, oh, and it was both the most amazing thing that ever happened to me and the worst thing that ever happened to me.
How so?
Well, you see somebody who's like there's never been another brand like he's incomparable. He defined, like, he kind of redefined what cool was. And it's, I mean, like, even now, like, there's Brando in us, in all of us now. Like, he affected the culture so profoundly. Like, if you look at what we even call cool, like, which is now, you know, the T-shirt, the jeans, the way we're dressed. He introduced this as sort of coolness when guys were wearing suits. Mm. And guys were talking like, say, what do you want to do? And, you know, like, that was cool before this guy came along and scorched the earth in every direction for like 70 miles. Like that guy, he's so fucking good. He tells a story with like epic simplicity. So the danger, so to answer your question in the most circuitous way imaginable, I'm sorry.
You got a great vocab, by the way. Circuitous?
Come on. Here's the twofold problem. No, yeah. I can't take an enema.
Is that what you just said?
I can't take an enema either. Let's funny, just go though. To okay. This is okay. The twofold problem is you see something that good and you when you're quite young. And I guess what was I like when I really sort of when it struck me? I was 20 years old. You're like looking at the fucking watch.
No.
It's like, okay, that's great. How do I not emulate that? Because that's everything I fucking. That's everything that's and invariably and tragically,
yeah.
You do end up kind of imitating that stuff.
You're taking pieces from all the stuff that you dig, right?
And you have to relinquish. You have to find you. And you know, like, and obviously, like, there were other men, guys, and girls who I adored. I loved Sissy Spacek enough. I love Anthony Hopkins. I loved, you know, there were other actors who I adored. But Brando was. Brando could do it all, yeah. And it was kind of an accident that he looked that good. It's almost like he shouldn't have. I feel like it was a problem for him almost that he was that kind of good looking.
Yeah,
because he happened to be that. I don't know. That guy's a miracle. I can go back to his. He's good in the worst shit. Like he always gives you moments and magic. He's just. I think he's also incredibly funny. I think he's. Fuck, that's what I want to ask you.
Yeah.
No, I'm in front of a comedian and I've got a mic in my fucking face and now I could end my career with this question. comedies.
Yeah.
This might be my problem. And I'm going to say, argue it is my problem. I don't find comedies very funny anymore.
I feel like you were going to say that.
Yeah. Like, have comedies, or maybe, okay, let me further destroy my career.
What type of comedy are we talking about? Right, well, so, I think the well, comedy just that the, has kind okay, of like
so, yeah, exactly.
Shifted, right?
That's right. So, yeah. so I mean, I need to fucking adjust what I'm saying. Get some specificity in here, right?
We won't see Mrs. Doubtfire anytime soon.
No, that's not going to happen,
right?
Happen again.
Which is a big bummer.
Yeah, exactly.
Comedy now, I feel like they're pumping it into like a Deadpool is now a comedy, right?
Right.
Or some really weird indie, which I love those. You know,
yeah, no,
like a Mallrats. You ever see Mallrats?
Yeah, of course. Actually, I was just listening to Kevin Smith talking about that the other day. It's fucking unbelievable.
It's
and there's really beautiful moments, and I actually don't. I love that it's swinging too, and it's like, well, they make that for $7,000 or something,
maybe
insane.
If that, yeah,
yeah. But like, I find moments funnier, so I'm more likely to laugh my ass off at a Coen Brothers movie than I am to I worship Will Ferrell.
Yeah.
But I'm more likely to be laughing my ass off at the Coen Brothers movie than I worship Will Ferrell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know what's maybe I find situations funnier than
1,000. And I agree because I think it's just the way that like we grow with our sensibilities change, right?
This question is more dangerous for you than it is for me.
No, not at all. No, this is a great question actually. Cause I like Anchorman, I remember adoring and almost to a point to where my buddies are crying in the theater and I couldn't even laugh at moments because I was so in awe. You know what I'm saying? When you're so like,
okay, so I want to loop you back. This is my problem with Sean. Okay. This is my issue with Sean is that Sean is so fucking funny
that I have to, maybe.
I mean, honestly, I meant what I said. I said this is for the audience. Like,
you're the best.
I said I want to help you do whatever you do.
I'll be the friend, the boom guy.
I'll be
more than that.
The fluffer. I don't care.
We got it. You're doing it. We're figuring it out.
So, but you cannot. You have to watch that. The first couple of times I watched Sean, and I'll watch every one of those videos at least. 8 to 10 times. Wow. And you blew me the fuck away when you said how many times you record.
The most it's ever been is 4.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's a gift, man. That's insane.
I needed this.
And he's breaking your heart too. Like he's slowly breaking your heart at the same time as he's bombarding you with all of this fucking stuff. Like he's falling apart underneath there. Like he's he declared his panic attacks. I fucking love him.
First of all, Daniel, I love your enthusiasm for it because for me it's a, you know, and I think there is. Hopefully I don't get so in my head about it now when I'm, because I dig about it on a somewhat deeper level is that, like, you know, I'm a people person. I feel like you are. I feel like you're genuinely curious. If you're at the airport and you see someone talking to someone or you hear a soundbite of a conversation, do you not let your brain wander and go, man, what's that story?
Yes.
Where are they going? Where'd they come from? I don't do it all the time, but I think also being in this business, you can't help but be. You're a storyteller, right? So you're curious of, like,
yeah,
just people in general, and like,
this is
why I like talking to the kid in the elevator. Like, I'm just like, yes. I want a little of, like, what's going on with you?
I know, and those people you meet that you're like, you're the funniest, like, sometimes I'm like, to my friends, can't you see that this guy is the funniest guy? And there's a bubble of hypocrisy here, because here you and I are sitting, and like, this is kind of meta, because I'm an actor talking to another actor, and I'm going to say this, that I'm kind of done with listening to, like, us, frankly, like people like us.
Yeah.
What I want to hear is those guys. I want to hear what those guys have to say, because they're funny as fuck.
Yes,
and they're so goddamn interesting. And it's like, yeah, what is that story?
The fact that I'm packing a lot into a small thing is, I think, what I dig, because it's like when you talk to anybody. I was just talking to a comedian buddy of mine about this the other day, and I was like, man, it's crazy that I go, how many friends we have as. That's one of the great things about Mo being here so many times. We've started kind of get like talk not just on the surface, and I'd love that. But it takes time. Everyone has their own, a timetable for that. But I probably know more people out here that's on the surface than not.
Yes.
But also, and I get greedy sometimes because I want to, like, even me calling you Danny is my way of probably trying to fucking carve into your heart a little bit quicker than normal. But with Sean, it's like, here's a lot that's going on right out of the gate. So take it or leave it, right? Like, this guy is basically being like, this is what's happening with me. And some people are going back to, this guy's fucking. We all know people that you're like, I'm going to take Sean in doses. Like, if he was a true friend, like, we all have people like that where you're like, I can kick it with Rick twice every 4 months.
Yes.
And then, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Dude, here's another fucking thing I adore about him, is that you have a great talent, which not all comedians have too, which is, you know which words are funny. You've got a great talent for knowing which word, like, whether it's, fuck, I'm trying to think of a Sean quote, I watched a dude fight another dude for a bag of string cheese, like that, like saying dude twice,
true story, by
like
the way.
A dude and then he says true story right after, he goes hashtag dude, and he says true story, a dude fight another dude for a bag of string cheese, like, there's something that one I laughed from the beginning and all the way through. And sometimes I'm almost disappointed that I get a big laugh straight away because I can't hear the next three jokes, so I have to go back, but. And you never know which one's gonna rock it. Fuck, man. I love this character. And I'm sorry, we're going on to.
No, we're not. And I appreciate it. And look, man, that is how we connected, was through IG. And you sent me a message and was real flattering about it. And then I was like, yo, man, you're a fucking legend. Hey, guys, Adam Ray here. Are you hungry? Are you thinking about food? Are you thinking about your next meal? Do you hate going to the grocery store? Me too. Well, HelloFresh is here to make your life easier. The number one meal kit in America is HelloFresh, and now they're sponsoring the About Last Night podcast. Oh, baby, I can't wait. HelloFresh, what do you get with them? Well, you get farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to you at your doorstep. Skip all the trips to the store. You know it's stressful. It's weird. Sometimes you go late night and you see people you forgot we have on this planet with rat tails and missing teeth, and they got potato salad in their pan. It's just, it's too much. So count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable.
Summer's just around the corner, and we all want to spend less time cooking. So, meal plan and prep with HelloFresh pre-portioned ingredients that make it easy to get cooking done quick. No matter what your lifestyle, you'll always find delicious recipes on the HelloFresh menu, like pescatarian and veggie. You can even swap proteins and sides to make a recipe just how you, yes, you, like it. I'm always struggling to figure out what I'm going to have for dinner, and I want to make sure it's healthy. Well, HelloFresh is on top of that for you, and they're going to deliver mouth-watering, chef-crafted recipes and fresh ingredients to your door so you can do whatever you want this summer and eat the right way. They've got snacks, meals, and more to add to your weekly order, even like fun s'mores bundles for the kids. Who doesn't like s'mores? S'more of what? From Sandlot, remember? They've also got a selection of crowd-pleasing eats like their bratwurst bar with caramelized onions, Dijon slaw, and pineapple relish. Oh my God, I'm getting hungry. Or a snack board with pretzel bites, spiced bar nuts, and hot honey peach jam. That's what she said. I've used HelloFresh in the past. I'm about to use it again. I love it. My wife loves it. We're about to eat better and the right way, putting stuff on our body that should go in there, not just jelly beans for dinner. So if you want to be part of the number one meal kit in America, I right now, if I were you, would go to HelloFresh.com/about16 and use the promo code about16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. Holy shit. Go to HelloFresh.com. I can't even say it. I'm so excited. HelloFresh.com/about16 and use promo code about16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. It sounds like it's too good to be true, but it's not. So do it. Again, HelloFresh.com/about16. Promo code about16 for 16 free meals plus free shipping. Start treating yourself and eating yourself. Just do it. And now let's get back to the episode. Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Hope you're enjoying the episode, and it's cookie time. Attention, all cookie lovers, including me. Love cookies. Cookies are my weakness. I've said it before, and I'm saying it again right now. I know you crave the sweet taste of freshly baked cookies. Just saying that makes me foam at the mouth. Say it again with me. Freshly baked cookies dipped in milk or eaten by themselves. Well, look, my friends at Twin Life Baking Company have you covered in cookies. With cookies, you can cover yourself in cookies. It's your life. Made from the finest ingredients and baked to perfection. They've got flavors like red velvet stuffed Nutella, vanilla cookie monster, rocky road, s'more, strawberry short stack, birthday, funfetti, chocolate bomb, snickerdoodle, pumpkin snickerdoodle, classic chocolate chip, cinnamon toast crunch, cowboy cookie, cookies and cream, lemon delights, and guess what? My very own cookie. That's right, the Adam Ray Pop-Tart. Little bits of brown sugar Pop-Tart on a cinnamon Snicker. It's a chocolate. Just trust me, all right? It's the greatest cookie I've ever had. I get emotional thinking about it. If you're listening to this, you're probably a person with great taste buds and you love great cookies and you want to celebrate two badass moms. So right now, go to TwinLifeBakingCompany.com and use promo code AboutLastNight to save 20% off your order. That's TwinLifeBakingCompany.com. Promo code AboutLastNight to save 20% off your order. What time is it? Cookie time. Now let's get back to the episode.
And you said you don't go on social media a lot?
No.
Yeah, no. Wow, cool.
By the way, only to do things like this once in a while. So like once in a while, and this is the great thing, like it sounds like I'm making a flex here, but I am a little bit.
You got millions of followers.
So I'm lucky in that regard, and that like, so I see a fight that I really like, and I love UFC, right? So
bushes outside your window.
Well, that too, man. I'll see you in a bit. Yeah,
oh
25.
My God. It depends on what if you were a closeted neighborhood fighter.
Yeah,
you just had this weird. That's not a thing. But
it's
like,
not a thing. But
if you was like this guy that like just, undercover, like had a not a different life, but just like, hey babe, I'll be back. I'm gonna go to Target, and you know you were going to Target, but there's a great bush to fight
there's a really good bush to fight in. We need that. That's an.
Sounds like the start of a really bad one man show. Your friend lured you in to go. Bush, where he's just like a bush to fight in.
A bush to fight in. Yeah, with this accent too, you'd be like, oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Yeah, bush to fight in, mate. Oh, fuck
oh,
that.
Oh, God. Where's he from again?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Canada? Zealand?
Yeah.
Is
this the outback? I don't fuck. Who cares? Who cares? I mean,
your American accent's good, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. I've done a few. I've lived here long enough. It should be decent. Yeah, you know what? It was decent before when I started.
It was. Was that one of the first things as a non-American actor you try to get down?
Yeah, you have to. And sometimes I'd go into the room with the American accent. Sometimes I wouldn't. But, the speed at which you and I speak, I have to sort of... You are definitely an improv guy because you have to sort of drop things. You go, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's it. It's like, oh, fuck.
I mean, it's my... blessing and curse where it's like you say beautiful. One thing that makes me go like no, but I'm pretty good about getting back to wherever it was.
No, you are. Will. I've noticed.
I do want to ask before we continue on, you know, creating the entire A Bush to Fight In story.
Story. You know, because
now riddle me this real quick. Would it play at like, you know, the Mark Taper Forum, or is it more of like the Falcon Theater in Studio City?
Yeah, I'm thinking. Well, yeah. Do you remember when?
Do you remember when
David Lynch sat? went to some intersection in Los Angeles, like with a cow, because he was arguing for Inland Empire, which he'd shot on his own dime. He had like signage with him saying, you know, basically saying that Laura Dern deserved all the kudos in the world for her performance in this movie. You probably don't. I'm looking at the vacant look in your eyes.
No, I don't. I was hoping, by the way, you were just going to stop, and then I was going to soak up that pause, and then go.
All right.
Daniel, when you were, just kind of shift gears. I don't remember that, but that happened when?
I wanted to do that at that intersection. Anyway, let's just
with the Bush to Fight In.
That's Bush to Fight In.
It's a great title. I'm a sucker for a good title.
Yeah, I
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's
Vampire Diaries, the originals.
Yes,
those are great fucking titles, dude. Can you give us people watching, myself included? You got to just take us through, and it doesn't have to be a 45-minute tale, but like the experience.
You're asking the wrong guy, but yes.
I watched a lot of the like fan forum type things you've done, which, by the way, you're very funny in those. Okay. So yeah, take that compliment. That's not easy. I've only done a few of those. I've never been to like a Comic-Con or whatever, but like your guys' fans are bonkers.
Yeah, they're bonkers.
In the best way, right? Yeah. Like, I don't know, like... But you guys with the cast, it seems like so loose and there's so much camaraderie. But the connection between the fans and a show like that, I guess I want to know later in the conversation what that's like to have that, and then where like literally I told my wife, sister, and nieces that you were coming on, and they've never responded to anything that I've done like that. That's crazy. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's super gratifying and weird. And we were very, very
lucky. It's very weird. I'm going to have to talk to my wife about it because I don't have to wear your mask.
I can talk to her about it. I can wear the mask.
You can wear the mask of her. Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Maybe we should all be wearing.
I think we should all wear masks.
Like an Eyes Wide Shut type.
Yeah, well, goggles are coming. VR is going to take over. But I think.
Yeah, so it's very gratifying.
Yeah. I want to know the start of that process of like getting that show to come across your desk, whatever.
So I auditioned for it, and I remember thinking, so I just finished writing and directing my own film in Colombia. Actually, I wasn't joking earlier on, and I was broken all kinds of ways. I'd somehow gotten this harebrained scheme somewhere around 2008, 2009 to go and make this film. I spent all my money, and I came out of basically 3 years of 3.5 years of not auditioning or acting at all because I wanted to go and make this movie. I made this movie, and my manager says, "What do you want to audition for?" And I said, "Every fucking thing, whatever." So which was great because I went and did NCIS and the Glades. I started working, guesting on things fast, and that was like the fourth or the fifth job I think I got. Mm. And in the space of about like a year, I was really desperate to dig myself out of this financial ditch. Anyway, I got this job. It's not that simple. I auditioned for it, and I thought I'd done okay. I actually did two auditions. I showed my wife at the time.
Did you do that a lot? Did you kind of like confer and kind of be like, "Hey, what do you think?" Just to get
she had great taste, and she was always right, you know. I showed her the version of the audition that I wanted to do, and I said, "And here's what I think might get me the role." And I said, "Here's the way I would play it if I had the role."
This is for
Elijah in the Vampire Diaries. So here's the way I'd play it if I had the role. Here's the way I think they want it. And I played the second, did the second version of the audition, and my ex-wife said, "Do it the second way. Trust me, you'll get it." And she was right.
Holy shit. And what was that? What was the difference, if you don't mind me asking?
Underlining obvious choices far more. I mean, look, man. Look, you and I have spent thousands of hours doing this. I think that's okay to say we've had more experience than a lot of the people who make the decisions about whether or not you get cast with acting. A lot of what gets applauded, and I mean, acting is. I'm not afraid to say, like, there's some shitty acting out there. I think we all know this.
Channel right now.
I mean, but
some of these kids.
Well, I'm kind of always blown away when I see great kids in those those shows. I'm like, fuck, that kid's
good. But on the flip, 1,000. But on the flip side, when I see kids are just like, Bobby, where's my piano cleaner? And by the way, I don't know what that show is where a kid is looking for their piano cleaner.
That's the bush to fight, and that's actually the 17th act. It goes far too long.
the you're right though. You do start to know, like, and that's why they always tell you. At least they did in some of the classes I took post college, where they were like, you got to watch everything you're going in for, so you know the tone, right?
Yeah.
And you know like what they are looking for. Like people probably that guest starred on Vampire Diaries, like I'm sure, like, yeah, if they didn't know the show and they were just laying down whatever, and it was like, oh, like you could probably see that through the audition tape, right?
Yeah, well, I hadn't seen the show, didn't watch it for many years, actually, until after I was on it, like for a while. showed my ex-wife this thing. It months went by the way, and nothing happened. And then I was in Las Vegas actually with my brother-in-law, about to throw him a stag party. Like everything was kind of like going kind of great, and we were just you know, when you're just sort of belted in for decadence, you just you're like, okay, this is gonna get just shitty.
Yep.
This is gonna be beautiful and shitty. And the call came, and it was just like, hey, on Monday you got a flight here. So I couldn't do any of the it's kind of like the designated driver. Not that you need a driver in Vegas. I don't know what I fucking
know. No, you do. And by the way, good for you to like make that call. That is easier said than done.
Yeah.
I know people that have had opportunities and been like, I'll be fine, and they weren't fine.
No, it's not fine.
And then there's some people that are like Chris Farley-esque, right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
By that I mean like could rip it at both ends and then be hungover or still fucked up and then go out on stage live and like be unreal.
Is it difficult to not drink as a comedian because you're in the bars and the pubs? Like, do you not drink when you?
No, I definitely drink. Do you?
But when you the last 3 months I haven't. Just
good
but,
for
but
you. This is why you're looking.
No. This is purely fuck spelt. You.
Yeah, no,
stop.
Dude, take
this. Not okay.
God damn it, man.
Yeah, I'll take one. I'll take.
No, I. It's scaled way back, and even pot is scaled way back. Did shows in Reno this past weekend. Had one drink over 5 days.
Yeah. Wow.
Smoked probably 4 or 5 joints. You know, I try to vary that because of the pipes. You know, it definitely takes a toll. But yeah, I don't know. I can't do it before I go up. Like, I got to have all my wits about me.
Yeah.
Like, I just can't, like, I've done it, you know. Been doing it 16 years now. I've been on stage stoned probably 8 times and really drunk, probably close to 10. And was able to get through it and have fun. But, like, it's not fun. It's not. You're not getting anything out of it, you know.
I remember being 17 years old. I was doing a play, and somebody gave me a piece of fucking pot banana cake. I inhaled that shit. It was amazing. But I was brand new to like edible pot and those, and it's New Zealand pot too, which is just like magnificent, right?
It is.
And then I followed that up with something like kind of twice the size, and then did a performance, and it's a full musical. I never leave the stage, by the way. Never leave the stage. Had to sing and dance the whole fucking way through it. It is, and there's this one line.
Is there footage of this?
No, for thank Jesus.
Oh my God! Can you imagine if they ended every episode of The Vampire Diaries with just a quick like 90-second snippet
clip of that
of you high as balls,
Daniel Gillies
doing the Music Man? What was it?
Big River.
Oh,
yeah, Huckleberry Finn. And there's a line in the third act, I believe, and a girl says something like, so there was my buddy who got wasted as well, is just in the chorus or whatever the fuck, no responsibility.
Two lines,
having a great,
half a song,
having an amazing time. And there's this one line in one of the girls says to me, I'm describing a girl in the play, and I say, you know, one was kind of pretty, and I say, and one was kind of stone-faced. One was stone-faced was the line, and I hear my buddy just go,
nice.
Behind me,
stone-faced. He was like, got him, dude.
I had
when art imitates
life. I was pregnant with a laugh like this. Fuck! It was like someone like I was a Zeppelin like laugh, and a whole my mouth. I had to sort of turn upstage to kind of just release. Like I've never had.
What a beautiful way to break this down, by the way.
To refuse a laugh like that is just like
you had to swallow it.
I feel like I know how what pregnant women go through. I feel like I know the full extent.
Bro,
I'm losing fans.
No, this is a great way to do it. Sometimes because we've all, hopefully you've experienced as a human being and been lucky enough to be in a situation where you want to laugh so bad,
so bad,
and you're trying to fight it off. Whether it's in class, in a fucking concert, in a music, whatever, like a live theater performance that's very... I, when I saw Stoned Out of My Mind, the first Planet of the Apes, at the very end, if you haven't seen it, it came out like 12 years ago, so fucking put it in the queue already.
Was that the Mark Wahlberg one?
Yes.
With
I'm sorry. No, this was the James Franco one.
The James Franco one, okay.
And yeah, he took in that chimp and taught him how to speak, right?
Yeah.
And at the very end, I'm so baked. Packed theater at the Arclight, right? R.I.P. Hopefully they bring it back. Sitting there in the back, full fucking theater, and there's a shot where they turns to the camera and goes, "No!" And I lost it, dude.
Yeah,
I just go, I go, "Oh shit!" And the whole theater erupted with laughter. It was like the most beautiful thing. Like everyone knew that I was baked just from the laugh.
Right, right, right.
And also, it almost in a way gave them freedom to go,
yeah,
that is kind of silly.
Yeah, yeah.
He hasn't spoke the whole time. And he spoke and he was angry and it was, oh man, I don't know.
I feel like that's the funniest people you ever meet. They needn't be comedians.
Or animated monkeys.
Animated monkeys that scream no. And so that's it. That's it. That's
yeah,
it.
That's all the thought you had.
The funniest people you could ever meet, they're the ones who just sort of, who when you glimpse through their eyes, you're like, oh fuck, that's that thing that I didn't realize. I mean, that's what comedy is.
1,000.
It's a beautiful thing.
Real quick before we got about Mo, are we good on time? 10. Okay, great.
Oh shit, yeah,
we're gonna do a part two. But I promised my sister that I would that she could ask one question. Do you mind?
No, I don't mind at all.
A call, and I'm gonna give you the phone. Just hold up. We're gonna FaceTime.
Oh yeah, beautiful.
And then I'm gonna call her, and then hold up the and then I'll hand it. Oh, I am flushed. Wow, I didn't even realize. Do you see that?
No, it's beautiful. It's like you've used a blush or something.
God damn.
You know.
Oh, it's fun. Yeah, so I'm gonna gorgeous. Say what up, and then I'm gonna hand you the phone. Hello. Okay, so I'm going to hand you the phone and then ask you a question.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Hold the phone like this. Hi. How are you doing?
We hold it up to the mic?
Hold it up to the mic. Okay.
Like that, yeah.
Like that? Okay, hi.
Wait, like this. Yeah, on top.
No, I have terrible eyesight, so this is going to be...
All right, Nat, you're on.
Hi, nice to meet you. What's your name?
My name's Natalie.
Hi, Natalie. Nice to meet you.
You as well. Hi.
Hi.
So that's crazy. So... I'm a huge Vampire Diaries Originals fan, so when my brother mentioned that he was going to bring you on, I was pretty pumped.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped to be here. I'm kind of in awe of him. He doesn't like it, and I'm a fairly mercurial guest, I think. I think he's trying to stop me from...
You've been crushing it, dude.
No, so that's not true.
All right, now, what's your question?
What was it like working with Joseph Morgan with such a tumultuous relationship off screen, but being...
I love that your question is about my fucking co-star.
No, unbelievable. Your relationship.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. We get you made it all
favorite.
This you made it all the way to the middle of the labyrinth. You're toe to toe with the Minotaur and you pull out a hacky sack.
No.
What the fuck?
No.
Nat, we'll put a pin in that question.
No, oh Nat, no, Nat, Nat, Nat. No, what was? No, it was. Look, first of all, the guy's incredibly funny. Like, he's just a really funny guy. And when you look, the show was so earnest and so kind of sober and I don't know, and not funny. And I think because of that, it's kind of like what your brother and I have just been talking about right now, which is that, like, in the most in the most solemn situations or circumstances, like a school assembly, like church, like we know, the laughs are the biggest. And so every day for me was just the funniest day, because I knew that between shooting these really earnest, really sort of biblically serious scenes, I was laughing with him and doing my best to destroy his performance and everybody else's. It was awesome. I loved it. I loved it. It was
stoic in the show. You're so calm and serious.
I actually would argue that he's a little bit funny. Just that he's a little bit funny. There's sometimes he got funny lines, pithy little. He's a little. You're not going to go with me on that one. That's right. Let's move on. Let's move on.
Well, I was just saying your character.
No,
your
I know.
Character.
I know. I got, we got that loud and clear.
Yeah.
That's good. So, good. Underline that. It's yeah.
Well,
Nat, is this where does this rank in career life highlights for you?
I mean, this is better than Britney, and that's saying a lot.
Whoa,
Britney Murphy? But no,
Britney Spears,
also another great Britney
this
though.
This is topping everything in my life right now. Not be a super fan girl.
Wait, hold on a second. You met Britney Spears? What was that like?
No, like that's my number one.
Oh,
goal
I see.
In life.
That's her number one.
That's a number one.
I don't care about that anymore.
Oh, I'm always number two. I'm always number two. That's right.
No, that's Natalie, not what I'm saying.
Natalie, it's been. Hey, let's drop all this. You're very charming, and it's lovely to meet you. And I hope I get to meet you in person someday.
Wow.
And your brother's amazing. And tell him to keep doing Sean and everything else he's doing.
Oh yeah,
you're a sweetheart, dude.
He's awesome.
All right, Nat, I love you.
Oh my gosh!
Nice to meet you.
See you.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Did you get a screenshot for yourself?
Huh?
Did you take a screenshot while you're? Okay, good. Yeah, good. And my nieces are obsessed with you too. Love you. Bye, Nat.
Bye. Love you.
Say bye.
Bye.
I think the love you was for you. Yeah.
Thank you.
See ya. Yeah. Amazing. That was very sweet.
I mean,
you gotta. That's probably. I mean. I wrote down here, like, crazy fan stories, ?
Yeah, well, COVID gave us a whole new slew of fans because basically, people started binging it again. Like, I mean, the phenomenon, which I'm very grateful for, was kind of dying a little bit. COVID came along and resurrected it all. And for whatever reason now, we're, it's become really popular again with younger people.
Yeah.
God, I'm so old. Just even saying
that. No way.
Younger people. I mean...
Bro,
yeah.
40. Wow, yeah. You should have done that while you were on the phone with my sister.
No,
Jesus
on.
Christ.
I'm cooking.
Now
it,
you do it.
No, this
you
is.
I got to call her back. Nat, you missed the jacket reveal.
No, trust me, it's underwhelming. This is not. There's nothing under here worth.
It is a little toasty. We're about to wrap up. Can we hit the air for the last few minutes? Do you mind, Mo? We're going to have to do a part two because
we got dinner
and then the show to get to.
Yes.
I don't even want to try to hit other stuff because we'll just do another one.
No, yeah, cool? Let's do another one. I love it. By the way, you're awesome, man.
Yeah, this rules, man. And new homie. That's why I love doing this.
Yeah, I love it too. And I love that I was able to reach out to you and this is it. But dude, I'm so...
Dude, new homies.
Yeah,
cool?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I really do. And I'd love to, we need to see more comedy. My girl and I love it.
I told you, I offer, by the way, homie tickets quite often. And some people take me up on it, and then some people go, oh, I don't want to bug you. I go, that's on you.
I'm going to.
Great.
I'm going to pay for tickets. Not tonight because I'm not an animal, but like, but I'm not. No, or whatever. Yeah, like,
you gotta save my money for the.
I was trying to do the monkey. It didn't fucking work. I know, it didn't work. I was trying to loop it back.
Yeah, you are. I don't know where you get your comedic chops from. Is that from watching stuff or from like?
I'm not funny, man.
Well, not with that attitude.
Well, yeah, that's true.
You are. You've got, my sister said, oh my God, ha ha ha. I didn't know you were still doing the podcast. I panicked.
Well, I panicked too. So that's right.
That was very cool, man. What's very cool? And you probably have experienced this, 10 times over with people that, with like that, right? Where they're just like, I can't believe, whether they're at one of those fan forum things asking questions or the messages you've probably gotten, right? It is always way cooler when you can like have a little bit of a connection to any sort of fan freak out or whatever, but like that was very cool. And she's, I'm her tie to the business, and she's already a big TV movie watcher, so it's like if I get her tickets to, my buddies in the Impractical Jokers, now I've got to become homies with all of them. She's obsessed with that. So it's like getting her tickets to that or like, other, just that is so, so small for you, but like, man, like that's, she's going to ride that high into at least the next 15
bringing
minutes.
Bringing my siblings over here and like introducing some of my friends who they might've watched in movies and stuff like that. It's huge. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
dude, look at who you are hosting tonight. Like over the comedy store. Like that lineup is insane.
Have you seen any of those people live?
Several of them. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Have you seen Dana live?
No, I haven't seen Dana, and I'm really excited about that.
Be.
Bill, my girl's seen Mark. Is Mark Maron playing tonight? No,
maybe in the other room. He was on last night,
okay,
the one that you thought you were going to come to.
Sorry.
Tonight's Joel McHale. I don't know if you know who Joel is.
Joel's amazing.
Awesome. Winnie Cummings, Kevin Nealon. And then we got a special guest. I can say it because it won't be out yet. David Spade's going to be there too.
Oh, Spade's amazing.
Yeah, so funny.
Yeah, he's incredible.
It's the Comedy Store is just a really like...
Wait, Bill Burr is playing tonight, right? Oh, did I miss it?
No.
He's not playing tonight.
He's not.
Oh, damn it. I thought I...
No. He was.
He was.
And he had to cancel for a very good reason. But so that's why we threw Spade in there. He's a special guest.
Spade's amazing. Dude,
it's going to be awesome.
Dude, it's going to be a great night. Yeah.
And you're taken care of. And
No, dude, I'm not bitching about him a little bit. I'm kind of No, I'm not. No. By the way, have you had him as a guest on this?
Spade?
Yeah, no, all of them.
Dana's been on like 12 times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it's awesome. Dude. I mean, you were here for one of them, right? Yeah, it's just crazy.
Dude. I'm in this chair and Dana Carvey's been
there. Chevy Chase has been there. Sandra Bullock's been there. Jesus,
this is
we did
like,
Jason Derulo a long time ago.
It's like you've been eating filet mignon and you just thought, fuck, one night you were just like,
nope.
I'm having Taco Bell.
Nope.
I'm just going to have Taco Bell. I'm having fucking Taco Bell.
Now, riddle me this. If Taco Bell comes out with a filet mignon chalupa.
Yeah, where do I sit? Yeah, where does that reside? Maybe in a bush where someone fights me. Oh, fuck. Damn, there we go. Beautiful. All right. Beautiful.
By the way, your last name. Give me the proper pronunciation.
Gillies. Rhymes with sillies, billies, or fillies. I'm just fucking. Great. I'm just some
you have to say that to people, don't you?
Because
they go Gillies or Gillette.
Yeah, Americans struggle with it. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
That
sounded
snooty.
Americans like when people who aren't American discover American things and say, like you just said, because the accent's very affable.
Weird. Yeah.
You know, like we're like, what is that about
sometimes
you?
Sometimes obnoxious, but yes.
Yeah, but it's like, no. I mean, shoot, man. I was shooting the show Young Rock, about the Rock's life in Australia. I think we might have messaged about this. And I didn't know that cunt was such a, like, thrown around. Like,
oh, no, yeah.
I'm going to a stand-up show in Brisbane, and the Uber driver's taking me, and he starts talking about comedy. And he goes, all right, have a good show, you cunt. And I dude, I got to be honest, I think 2 stars out of 5 are coming your way. And he was like, no, cunt.
It's a term of endearment. Totally. And we don't use it for women. Very rarely do you use it for women. An extreme. It's you say a guy's a good cunt, are you filthy cunt, like that guy cut you off in traffic.
I love it, dude.
But it's like a comma, or it's like mate. It's just like
mate's cool too.
Cunt is used for men. Yeah. We use it for you. Typically, it's guys talking about guys. We'd never use it as in a derogatory way towards women.
Yeah.
Very very rarely, you know. But it's not. So when I heard Americans using it as the term for women, I was like, oh, that's weird. Like it,
and people getting upset about it is even weirder.
That's a whole podcast.
It is.
Anyway,
part two will just be called
the cunt in the bushes. The bush around my cunt.
By the way, my god,
right.
A Judy Blume book that never got published. Around my. Oh my, you're funny, dude. Right. This was a blast.
Yeah, you too.
We just scratched the surface. You are on social media. Plug your handle for us so people can give you a follow.
Do you know I don't?
Don't even know your gram. Do you run your own social media?
Yeah, I do. I just don't never touch it. I think it's Mister, but yeah, is there a dot in there?
I got it right now. We're going Mister Dot Daniel Gillies.
Yeah, Mister Dot Daniel.
Give him a follow. Clips from the pod are coming. You're a beast, dude.
Thanks, man.
New homie. We'll do a part two. We're gonna have a blast tonight. And
thank you, man. I appreciate it.
And if I don't see you, you're leaving for the movie sooner than later. In Ecuador?
Yes, I'm gonna leave next week,
bro. Yeah. Congrats! And
thanks.
Guess what?
And I'll see you in August.
Back.
Yeah,
and then we'll come back with some fresh Ecuador tales.
Yeah,
right.
I'm nervous.
Said nobody ever. Hey, come back with some cool Ecuador stories. No, that does seem awesome. You're nervous?
Yeah, I am.
For the gig.
Fuck, you became Shauna then for a second for me. Blew my little
breath. Oh, my God.
Come back with some Ecuador stories. All right, dude. Love it.
What's up, guys? Do you come to you live from Ecuador, dude?
No.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you very much, man. Awesome.
Hi, I'm Dr. Lori Watson and the co-host of Foreplay.
I'm your co-host, George Fowler, former firefighter, your couple's therapist who loves to talk about sex.
Woo! Let's discuss everything about the best sexual techniques to building your emotional intimacy, which is really necessary for great sex.
We bring sound, concrete tools to reframe your relationship problems and learn how to fall in love again and feel desire.
Listen to Foreplay Radio on the iHeart app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.